This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 304 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you for asking.
That is good to hear. What is excellent in your week?
Oh, nothing really.
Okay.
Don't ask me to live up to this hype of feeling good.
Okay. Right.
You know, I'm trying to start off with a positive spin, and then you brought it all down to this.
Right. I just brought it all undone.
Well, I've had a pretty good week. I talked to the Frankston Camera Club last night.
Excellent. How was that?
Same as always. You know, that was awesome. I put on a good show. I've got to tell you, played the dad jokes. I pulled the cord out of my computer.
Leave the technical stuff to me, mate, okay?
I had the computer on charge for like an hour before the podcast. Right. And then they realised that it's not turned on the wall. So now I've got this cable sort of stretching. Because the Mac's a like little, this little magnetic connector.
Oh, okay.
So it's easy to pull out without you paying attention.
Oh,
so.
Right.
Yeah, so I did a talk, and I did a couple of landscapes whilst I was waiting.
I saw one of them anyway.
Yeah, I like to get in places early, and so I was there 4 hours early, something like that.
Right.
It's just my nature. And it was blowing a gale, but I thought I'll take a few landscapes just for the funsies, and reminds me every time why I should stick to people.
Why?
Oh, you know, the thing is, you know, I expect a certain. That sounds wrong.
You want a human connection in every image.
No, I want a human connection. I want a certain quality.
Right.
I want my photos to be good. And I can't shoot landscapes that look any good. I shoot an okay amateur landscape.
Right.
But anyone who actually shoots landscapes, who's actually good at shooting, they look at it and go, oh, It's pretty tame. It's pretty ordinary. You know, nothing particularly special about that shot, Glyn. You know, and I accept that. You know, that's just not my thing.
It's not your forte.
It's not my forte or my fifth day.
Right.
Looking for either of them. And so it's like, it is what it is. You know,
I mean, it's like anything. It's a matter of practice.
But I know, but I don't want to practice.
And that's fine.
No, I want to be great straight. You misunderstand me, Bruce. Right. You misunderstand me. I just want to be awesome immediately.
Right.
Without any effort.
Right.
It's not too much to ask, surely, is it?
No.
But yeah, see, I see things. I understand all the concepts to how to make it work.
Right.
I understand technically how the whole thing should go.
Yeah. You just fail on the execution.
Yeah, you know, having all the knowledge of something technically, but not no practical experience to actually do it for reals. Yeah. So you know, when it comes to a real world experience, it's very very different. When it's howling wind and freezing cold and splashing water and that kind of stuff, it's very different. You know?
But all jokes aside, that is simply a function of not having done it enough.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I just don't want to do it enough to get it. Yeah. Okay. If I'm going to do it, I want it to be bloody good. And if it's not, I'm just not going to do it again.
Yeah, right.
do the words petulant, spoiled child mean anything to you? So I just literally this second as we were talking, I decided I'd plonk another one up there on Facey.
Oh, okay.
Another one yesterday. So I'm going to shoot that through to you if I can figure out how to work this window thingy-majiggy on this like texty kind of.
Look, I'll just log into Facebook. It'll be
no, there. No, I sent it. There you go.
Oh, okay.
I found it. You know how hard it is to find a little text window on Skype? They don't want you texting. They want you talking.
Yeah.
So that little window can be tricky.
Yep.
So that's I don't know. I didn't like this landscape at all. I was going to delete it.
Right.
But just looking at it again, just think that doesn't look that bad. I'll put it out there, you know.
You've certainly gone for the minimalist approach.
Oh yeah, there's as far as approach goes, there's very minimal stuff there, you know. And it's pretty good. Almost in there with the rule of thirds too.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Actually, do you know what I was inspired by?
What?
is one of the richest photographs there's ever been, most expensive photographs ever sold.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A photograph of the Rhine.
Yes.
And it's just like green grass, a bit of Rhine, a bit more green grass and the blue sky.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, well, I've got 500 of those at home. And that weighs like 4.6 mil.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd do this and sell it to the underbidder.
Yeah.
I'll take 3 mil and they can have some bonus shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is minimalist.
Yeah. You know?
It's that. I like the Coke bottle, bottom left. Sorry, bottom right. Can I get my left and right? You can just see this little flash of red down the bottom right-hand corner, like a centimetre up and about 2 or 3 centimetres from the right-hand corner. There's this little flash of red under a rock and go, oh, Coke bottle.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I can't see it, but I'll take your word for it.
So maybe I put the copy up that I did, that I
cropped it out.
Content aware of that. So I talked to the Franks and then they very lovely emailed me today and asked if I would open. It's their 60th anniversary this year, and they're having a big exhibition. And I want to see if I'll come down and open it for them. Which
is,
I must have done okay.
Yeah.
But it's the same weekend as the digital show here in Melbourne, so I'm working all day, and that's night time in 50 kilometres from Melbourne, sort of thing. So We'll see. I might. Never know. And then I did only my second ever workshop at the new studio.
Oh, okay.
Second actual. I've done an understanding your camera one. That's not a real workshop. It's more a how to sort of thing.
Right.
So I did a natural light workshop on Saturday for Camberwell Camera Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bitter cold. It was bitter cold, apparently. I don't really feel the cold, but they said it was all bitter cold.
Right.
Poor model in a dress.
Right.
The light was not the most exciting, but it was. This area is so dynamic with people. There's so many people in this area on a weekend compared to where I've come from.
Yeah.
And there's quite a mix of people from the screaming people who are sort of obviously not all together there to the drunks in the corner, to the gangs, to the newly arrived in the country. It's a melting pot of an area.
Yeah, right.
And I've been a little concerned about how a model and a dress and a whole bunch of photographers are going to fit in.
Right.
You can imagine. Well, we had a ball. So many people came up. We were photographing. We had a Sikh gentleman. We photographed him. We had several Sudanese guys, a Sudanese girl.
Who were not part of the workshop.
No, just people wandering
just
the street.
People you roped in, right.
a couple of really dodgy-looking alcoholic guys came up, and I was like, oh, a little bit concerned. But they were awesome too. Everyone was lovely. So it was really quite a kind of cool experience. It was very, very welcoming.
Nice.
And I finally got to shoot the girl who works downstairs in the coffee shop.
Oh, cool.
From where I'm at. And I've been wanting to shoot her. So I've been there this is my third time there. Each time I've been there, I've asked her.
Yeah.
And she said, no, not remotely interested. She hates having the photo taken. But I finally convinced her to let me shoot her. And the way I convinced her was it'll only take 60 seconds.
Yeah, right.
No more than 60 seconds and you're done. And so I did and we were done. And loved the shot. One of my favorites of last who knows how long. You don't like much of your own work. Well, I know I don't.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to get a photograph because it really captured her. And that's kind of a
excellent.
Good thing about a portrait, I guess. and I'll just send the link to that one as well.
Yeah.
And for a 60-second portrait in a window, it's pretty beautiful. So.
Nice.
I was pleased with that. And that's pretty much straight out of Canberra, with the exception of just darkened down the background just a touch.
Right.
Because you could see a little bit of the walls in the back of the cafe, and it was a little bit distracting. Not much. It was like 10, 15% darker. That's about it.
Right.
But just for a very nervous and unwilling subject, it was pretty nice. So
lovely.
Pleased with that. What else has been going on this week? So I wrote it down in notes.
Hmm.
My daughter got class captain. Did I mention that?
Oh, you did mention that.
Went to
I don't know if you mentioned it on the podcast or actually, yes, I think you did. I think you did.
Yeah, so 13 speeches over 13 terms.
That's right.
Finally got up there. But me, the wife, and my 4-year-old were all there to watch get announced. And the look on this kid's face, oh, melted dad's heart. I've never seen her in an entire 8 years of life. I've never seen her so happy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she just had this look on her face that I have never seen because I try not to keep him too happy. I don't want to get to unrealistic expectation of what life's going to be like. It's not all wine and cheese, girl.
That's it. There's a lot more wine than cheese.
Exactly. Well, I hope that's not gets a smile on your face. But all these parents, all these people came up after saying, explaining about her expression on her face, the look of just had the joy. And yeah, right. So I got it on video, which is lovely.
Nice.
That was nice. What else? I announced expressions of interest for my what I call my New York Light and Vision weekend in May next year. So another trip. So last week, the podcast listeners were the first to know about Myanmar. Yep. Now it's New York as well.
Right.
But New York's mostly for American customers. It's not like I'm taking people from here over to there.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, I've got two people from here wanting to go, which is...
Oh, really?
Yeah, go all the way to New York for a weekend. Well, I mean, I'm sure they'll probably stay and do stuff for themselves, but... Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of thing. So it's called Light and Vision. It's not a workshop per se. It's more of a city walks.
Oh, okay.
But the concepts, because most of the people who are going to come have already been to workshops.
Oh, okay, right.
It's for my US customers. So they've heard the ramble. Yeah, and now it's a matter of going into a huge range of locations over a weekend.
Yep.
And then deciding about the lighting. Okay, what kind of light is there? Do you create your own or use what's there? If you use it, what's there? How do you use it?
Yep.
And if you create your own, what type of thing do you create?
Yep.
And then vision based on, okay, this is the surround, this is the scene. How do we use this scene as part of our vision, as storytelling vision?
Yep.
So Light and Vision Weekend, it's going to be called.
Nice.
And 10 places only. I've already got 18 people interested. So
wow.
It looks like it's going to be successful.
Yeah, right.
And the funny thing is, it's May 7 and 8 is the weekend it's on.
Yep.
May 6 is my wife's 40th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And we met in New York.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you're taking her with you?
And the kids.
Awesome.
Not really. It's going to be mad. Hey, the kids. 30 hours traveling each way, madness, sheer madness. A 4-year-old bottled up in a plane. Who today, when she got home from kindergarten, sat for a minute and a half and then said, "I'm bored." She got the attention span of her father. So that's going to be fun. And I'm going back down to where I do a lot of my workshops in Pennsylvania, taking the kids down to Amish country and visiting some friends down there. And my wife's got a writer's conference she's always wanted to go to.
Oh, okay.
And that's the weekend before her birthday. So I'm sending her to that. And we're all going. Wow. And it's all kind of making a busy event for all of us. And then we're doing Disneyland on the way back for the kids.
Nice. The Los Angeles one?
Los Angeles one. Yeah. It's kind of trip on the way home a little bit. So
awesome.
So that's all good. And then I've been researching stuff for the other trips, for India, for Vietnam. It looks like I'm going to Vietnam a week earlier than I expected, just to do some shooting, which is nice.
Oh, okay.
Just me and Malcolm are going to hang out for a week and just travel a bit and do some shooting.
Nice.
Which would be nice. And then I got this shocking, I watched this shocking video from a lens rental company.
Yeah.
About these color festivals like Holi, and explaining about, okay, it doesn't matter how much you waterproof your gear, the color stuff is so fine, it gets through all the water ceilings of your lens into your internal elements of your lenses. Yeah, I know. It's like so we got these two articles, both on Petapixel. One was, don't shoot color run or the Holi, you don't shoot it, and all the stuff explaining why not to. And then, like 2 months later, there's another article on Petapixel, how to shoot the color run without destroying your gear. it's funny stuff. So that's interesting, trying to find ways of, because there's water being chucked around everywhere. And you know, my biggest concern is not about getting gunk in the lens, because that can be cleaned if it has to.
Yeah.
It's how do you keep your lens clean enough on the front so you can actually shoot without having water all over or dirt, color all and stuff all over. The time.
Yep.
If people throwing stuff at your lens all the time,
I
want to be shooting
and
keeping it clean. So that's kind of our biggest struggle. So if anyone's ever done it,
shot
a Holi and found a solution for keeping the lenses clean.
Keep a roll of Glad Wrap with you.
Well, the problem is, it means you have to shoot through it.
Yeah.
And shooting through it's going to reduce your image sharpness.
Not by much.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea.
Keep it tight and, you know, that and then you've just got to replace it every 30 seconds.
I might do some experiments. That could be worth having a try.
Because you think about it, I mean, Glad Wrap's really thin. So
it's not as thick as some.
So it's not going to impact the, you know, the travelling of the photons.
Yeah, it's more light reflection. You know, it's more the reflect. You're getting all sorts of weird light reflection and stuff.
Right.
And not trying to shoot through glass, maybe. I don't know. I've never tried to do it, so.
No.
But you know what? I'm going to experiment.
Yeah.
Out, and we'll see.
Cool. You know?
So that's kind of been my week. What's your week been like now we've talked about me for long enough?
Pretty average.
I'm glad I talked about average. Yeah. Not good. Not excellent.
No. You know.
Does average meaning normal?
Yeah.
Or average
normal.
Meaning off?
Just a normal week. Yeah. But what we didn't get to talk about last week.
Yes.
Was Western Digital.
Let's talk about them just a sec.
Okay.
Let's talk about last week's episode. Got a couple of people feedback saying that they enjoyed the critique.
Oh, okay.
Nice, but I also had a thought process that, well, where do people listen to this damn podcast? It may be in the car. Well, it's kind of hard to look at the photos we're talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe on the all these areas where maybe they couldn't see what we're talking about anyway. So maybe describing visual things might not be the best.
Well,
concept.
The thing is, the Shuddersync podcast website is mobile friendly.
Yes.
So presumably, even those people who are listening, you know, whilst travelling, as long as they're not driving a car, they can look at the images on the on their mobile device because the images show up in the feed. So,
okay.
So you know, hopefully everyone got to see the images that you were talking about.
Did you do anything with them? Did you edit?
Yes, I processed all of them with the. Yeah, suggestions that you had made and included those versions in the show notes, but the original versions are on brucewilliamsphotography.com. What I should have done was kept the versions that as I had originally processed them and then Photoshop them side by side with your adjustments so that you could see like the before and after. But that was just more time and effort than I had, so they just got the edited versions.
The expurgated version.
Yes.
So I'm pulling up this. I want to see that one where I suggested lightening the color of the doors. Adding a bit more saturation. It's the one with the guy walking in front of the yellow. You didn't clone out the guy in the yellow and move him back a foot. The guy walking across the yellow wall.
Yeah, no, I didn't. No, I did not do that.
It's pretty slack, dude. It's not really putting the hard yards in for the listeners now, is it?
Okay.
That's right. It's well beyond my photoshopping skills as well. It's working a treat so far. It's not opening at all.
Really?
Nothing's happening.
You know why? It's because it's pushing the images down the page, and I don't know why it does that.
Oh, really?
It's loading them up, but then the whole page grays out, and you've got to scroll down a million miles to find the image.
That's weird. Mine's just spinning.
Okay.
Spinning.
Yeah, it's really annoying. I don't know why that plugin is doing that because I use the same.
New tab. If I open link in new tab, that might work.
Yeah. I use that same image plugin on two other websites and it works perfectly. Why on Shuddersync it doesn't work the way I expected it to?
Have you seen your photos?
Yeah. It's got nothing to do with the content. Anyway.
Anyway, so no taking photos this week? You haven't
No.
shot anything?
No, but I am organising the next meetup.
Are you? It's a studio one, did I say?
It is. A studio lighting.
I pay a moderate amount of occasional attention.
Moderate. Yes. And I'm not, you know, certainly not trying to step on your toes. I'm not planning on running a workshop.
Oh, I do what you want, dude.
It's just a couple of people asked about, you know, studio lighting. Actually, at the last meetup, when we were shooting Taylor on the Rock. And so I said, well, look, when I get back from Borneo, you know, I'll put something together, you know, and we'll have a play. So that's the idea. Yeah, so I'll find a model and it won't be elaborate costumes and there won't be a hair and makeup artist. It'll just be...
I'll keep it stupid simple, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah. I've got a fairly big garage, about 8 by 10 meter square garage. So,
for our non metric listeners,
30 feet by 24 feet.
Excellent.
It's a decent size. Yeah,
it's a useful size, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. And I've got a 3 meter by 10 meter white backdrop. So what's that? 9 feet by 30 feet.
That's good.
And I've got a smaller, about 1.5 meter by 3 meter, sort of blue mottled. sort of blue cloudy mottled kind of backdrop. Yep.
On how are your new lights going?
Maybe I've really only had the most basic of play. I haven't actually shot anything properly with them. I've just plugged them in and had a fire to make sure that they work and they recycle and they're working with the triggers. And so all that stuff is working fine.
So that's the stuff you're going to use for the studio?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah. Oh, did I tell you that one of the glass covers was broken?
Glass covers on what?
Over the light bulb.
The
shield had been broken, but it had broken cleanly into two pieces.
Clean off.
So yeah, exactly. So I just glued that back together and used a really...
I mean, the glass cover's just a bit of protection. It's not really needed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I figured if I figured it was salvageable because it had broken cleanly, so I thought, well, I've got some really good industrial glue that, you know, you put it on both sides that you need to attach and you let it sit in the air for 30 seconds and then you push them together and then you let it sit in the sun for a few hours and that cures it. And I figured, well, that'll do the job. And yeah.
And so, is it withstanding heat reasonably well?
Thing. I haven't really given it a massive test under, you know, extreme
duress
yet. So we'll find out next weekend.
Cool. Well, let's get onto your Western Digital. And let's be clear, we're talking about Western Digital here. Western WD, you might see them marketed as. Yes. We want to put these people down.
Yes, the walking dead of hard drives.
So let's talk first about before you went overseas, when you went and bought.
So what happened was a week and a half before I left to go to Borneo, I was thinking to myself, what am I going to do as a backup option? And the reason I was so keen on having a backup option was because when we went 2 years ago, I came home and one of the cards had become corrupted and I didn't know if it was, you know, excessive scanning power as it was going through the scanners in the airports or if it was just that it was a dodgy card or what. So I thought this time I want to have a duplicate of all the raw files that I've shot in some format, in some way, shape or form. I want to be able to take a copy of everything so that should that happen again, I've at least got a backup that hopefully is not corrupted. So I thought to myself, well, I can go a hard drive or I can just go with, you know, like a 64 gig USB key or two. And dollars per gigabyte, the hard drive made much more sense.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it always does, yeah.
Now, the reason I, you know, went for the expense of the, you know, the My Passport wireless drive was any regular hard drive requires power to spin the disks inside it. And because I was only going to be attaching it to a tablet, not to a laptop, I knew that the tablet wouldn't be able to supply enough power through the USB cable to spin the drive.
Yeah.
So I figured the wireless version of the hard drive, you know, with its built-in Wi-Fi network but running off AC power or using its internal battery, alleviated the need for a power source to spin the disk. Because the My Passport drive, in theory, it sounds great on paper. You know,
sounds great.
Yeah, it's got a built-in battery. Yeah, once it's charged, it will, you know, it'll run for 6 hours, you know, with its Wi-Fi network running so that you can transfer data on and off the drive wirelessly. And, you know, with the 6 hours of battery, I thought, well, that'll be great because there'll be, you know, places we will go where I may not have access to AC power. And at least if I've got it fully charged, I'm not going to need it to be running for hours and hours every night. It'll only have to run for 15 minutes while I back up and then I can power it off again, you know. So for all intents and purposes, it seemed like the ideal choice. So I bought one on the Thursday, sort of 9 days before we left, and took it home, charged it up, went to power it on the weekend, and got the red flashing lights.
Did it go, wop, 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 wop?
Pretty much. Didn't make that sound, but it might as well have. And so I had to go looking, you know, for what these red flashing lights meant, because I, you know, when you're new to a product, you don't necessarily assume the worst of it.
Yeah, flashing red lights are usually such a good sign.
So I had to go looking on the Western Digital website and found that these, you know, this particular signal indicated that the drive was faulty and that I needed to return it to the place of purchase. So took it back to JB Hi-Fi, you know, the following week and went, look, you know, this was dead on arrival. They went, not a problem. We'll swap it over for you. I went, beautiful. At this point,
can I have one from a different batch, please?
Yeah, well, you know, at this point, I was just thinking, hey, this sort of thing happens. You know, every now and again, you're going to get one dodgy item.
Especially your name's Bruce Williams.
So I didn't give it too much thought. I thought, you know, I'll swap it over and the next one will be fine, you know. And of course, I brought the new one home, plugged it in, charged it up, fired it up. Worked perfectly. Set up the Wi-Fi network with the tablet, did a quick transfer to make sure it was all working the way it was meant to before I left the country, and it was. And it was great. And I thought, you beauty, here's my backup solution. Yes, it was a little bit more expensive than I, you know, had planned on spending for a backup solution. It was about $240, but that gave me a terabyte, you know, so that was, you know, 25 cents a gig, which was much cheaper than the dollar per gig for a USB key. So, you know, we then pack up, we head off over to Borneo, and seriously, 2 days in, and I power the thing up and I get the red flashing lights again. And of course, at that point, you know, there was no way I could take it back to the shop, and it meant I didn't have a backup solution for the following, you know, 16 more days of the trip. And so I, you know, as most people would be aware, I vented fairly heavily via Facebook and Twitter. Western Digital did reach out to me via or in response to my tweet.
And that, when I heard that, I thought, well, that's someone's paying attention on social media to talk about them.
And that's the good thing about social media. You know, if you get on and have a vent, you generally, and you know, if you tag the company in question, they generally do get back to you.
If they've got someone watching that stuff,
yeah, which obviously they did. So, you know.
Which I thought, well, that all good well, I thought.
Yeah. So they said, you know, please get back to us with a direct message with details of where we can contact you. So by that stage, I had got a local phone number in Borneo because I'd bought a SIM card. So I direct messaged them back via Twitter and said, yeah, this is my email address, this is my mobile number, blah, blah, blah. And basically all they did was 48 hours after that, so not exactly a timely response, they came back to me and said, here are your options, and one and three were basically take it back to the place where you bought it, which was...
So it's a form letter, in other words.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they've put no effort whatsoever into actually
absolutely
addressing
not.
The issue.
No.
They'd cut and paste and hit send.
Yeah, pretty much.
After 2 days of waiting.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'd already made it clear that I was out of the country from whence I had purchased the unit. So there was no chance of me returning it in a timely manner so as to, you know, fulfill the need for which I bought the drive. The best I could do was lug this dead weight around Borneo for the next 2.5 weeks and replace it once I got back to Australia. So really their response was of no value to me whatsoever. Which was disappointing. I ended up just going and finding a 64 gig.
But you are the Bruce Williams after all.
Well, apparently that doesn't count for much.
It's with a little bit of VIP treatment.
So, so I ended up buying a 64 gig USB key, backing everything up to that. And of course, you know, as Murphy's Law would have it, there was absolutely no issue with any of the images that came home on the cards. So, you know, it ended up that the backup was redundant, but hey, I felt happier to have a backup.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like if you didn't have it, you would have needed something.
Exactly. So. It's like an umbrella. Yeah. Take it with you, you don't need it.
Or a tripod.
Yeah, exactly.
In a photographic parlance. Yeah.
So once
take
I got...
that sucker every year and use it.
Yeah, so once I got back to Australia, I, you know, took the drive back to JB Hi-Fi where I bought it, and I said, look, you know, this was meant to be my backup solution for my photos on a recent trip. This is what happened to the first one. Same thing happened to the second one. I now have no interest in the product because I'm back and I don't need the backup now, so I want my money back. So and JB were fantastic, as they always are. They just said, yeah, not a problem. They took the unit back, gave me a refund back to my credit card, and so that was the end of the story.
As they damn well should, as consumer law actually says they have to.
Yeah,
so, as much as they might be nice people, they actually don't have much of a say in the matter.
Yeah, but JB are very good like that.
But you know what it is?
What?
It's my theory. I've got an opinion on everything and I'm happy to share it. It's not that at all.
What's not
that? It's nothing to do that the staff want to help you.
Oh, probably not.
And it's nothing to do with customer service. It's nothing to do with company policy.
Right.
Do you know what it is?
What?
The staff person doesn't give a shit. And he doesn't want to deal with a cranky customer. It's not his money. He's given back.
Yeah, true.
Who cares? Yeah. He's just bugging. You have your money back. I don't care. It's not my business. Yeah. I was going to go sell the next thing or I get some commission.
Yeah.
I love that kind of company.
But obviously, there is a company policy that says, you know, don't hassle a customer that wants their money back. Because there are plenty of companies that don't respond that way.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, once again, it depends what...
Yeah, there are plenty of companies that would go, oh, we've got your money now.
But buying from stores that where the people make commission and knowing you're going to tie up someone's time for a very long time if you don't get your way, as I tend to do, it's often amazing what it gets you.
Yeah. So anyway...
Staff, it is, but that's good. So it's resolved. So I think we should blog some stuff about Western Digital.
Right.
I mean, because let's face it, I'm trying to find a solution for everyone I'm taking on photo tours. They're all going to want a solution. And I thought this is the perfect product.
Look,
I was going to recommend this drive to everybody to take with them.
Yeah, and now, if it had worked, I would have recommended it highly.
Absolutely. Now I have absolutely no confidence.
No, same. Yeah. And the frustrating part was David Oastler reached out to me on the first day that I was in Borneo and said, what are your thoughts on that My Passport wireless drive? Yep. And I went, it's fantastic.
Oh, no.
Because this was the day before it died.
Of course, before it carked it.
Yep. And up until that point, it was living up to its expectations, you know. It did exactly what it said on the box, you know. It ran wirelessly. It had its own Wi-Fi network. I just synced wirelessly between the tablet and the drive. It was perfect. But, you know, I expected it to last a little more than 48 hours.
You know, it's so fussy. You know?
Yeah. I have such high expectations.
Man! Anyway. So that is.
It was disappointing.
Disgraceful, frankly. Yeah, 2 out of now that could be a batch thing, which is why I said, you know,
it's quite possible.
Whenever something like that goes on, I always try and get something from another batch.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a lens, if you have something from a different shipment, it doesn't always help, but I used to try and do some variation, if at all possible, because, it does happen sometimes. One bunch of stuff has a fault and the other 95% of the product's perfect. So
So
we're back to the drawing board looking for backup solutions, effectively. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would love to hear if anyone else has bought that product and had no issues with it. I'd love to hear that. Because I can't believe that every one of them is faulty. Like, you know,
I'm going to put up both my Facebook walls and ask for a comment too. Because once again, I need a solution. Yeah. And I also want to make sure that if there are people monitoring, that they see this disgruntlement linked back to you. So maybe they'll put a hit on you.
Yep.
And so this is just not on, you know.
No.
It's just and you know, what's the biggest not stuff goes wrong. I get that, you know. That's okay. It's the way you're treated when stuff goes wrong.
Yeah.
And he said at JB you were treated awesome.
Yep.
Western Digital treated you very badly by not personally dealing with your situation, by sending back solutions that were completely useless to you.
What I found the most frustrating about that whole saga is the fact that Western Digital's main manufacturing is based in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And I was in Malaysia. I was in Malaysian Borneo. I wasn't on the Malaysian mainland, but I was still in Malaysia. And it baffles my mind that they couldn't have reached out to one of their retailers, you know, somewhere in Borneo, you know, and said to me, you know, where are you? Are you in Kuching? Are you in Kinabalu? Are you in Sandakan? There must have been a retailer somewhere that they could have reached out to and said, hey, we've got a guy who's there from Australia. He's traveling. One of our products has failed. Can he bring it in, swap it over, we'll handle all the paperwork in the background, That, they could have done that, and they didn't.
Somebody just dropped the ball big time by keep sending you back an absolutely useless response.
Yeah. So anyway, such is life.
I'm just having a quick type up on e-Googleizing, see if there's any people out there complaining about it.
But, right.
I always do that. I always look up a product and type in faults or problem and see how many people are complaining. My wife's car went back in for the third time for the same fault 2 days ago.
Whoa.
Halfway through going to pick the kids up from school, and all of a sudden the it can no longer find second and third gears.
Ooh. Sounds like my hire car in Borneo.
So it's a bad thing. So I've rung up and the guy said, well, there's nothing I can do. He said, you can bring it in, but I've got no cars for you to borrow. No, you can have a hire car. You can have a loan car next week. So that doesn't really help me now, does it? And he goes, well, there's nothing I can do. I said, you know what? There is. I said, you've inconvenienced me three times now because of this car. It's time for you to be inconvenienced. I'll be there in 15 minutes. You'll have a car for me. I was there in 15 minutes. They had a car for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you get it. But I'll always look up, are other people having this problem? Here's one here. Western Digital, my passport was an utter waste of time, is the headline.
Wow.
And that's from January 8, 2015. So if you had done some research, you might have also come across it. So it's interesting to find that sort of stuff. And I was talking about the reason I brought up the car, I was talking to the customer, the service manager. About it. I said, look, you got a car with a known fault.
Yep.
So straight away, my resale value is reduced.
Yes.
All you got to do is look on the internet and you'll find all these people complaining. She goes, oh, yes, but you know who complains on the internet? I said, of course I know who complains on the internet, that people have a problem.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a problem, you don't complain. And if you're really happy, very few people say anything either.
That's true.
But the problem is, if anyone's looking to buy a car, they can only go by what's on the internet.
That's it.
They can't go by the 98% of happy customers. They can only read what the 2% of unhappy customers are saying.
That's right.
Anyway, but it's interesting to see where this guy is why he's saying it's why he's wasting on. He's actually posting a thing called an utter waste of time.
Right.
It's actually the name of the website.
Right.
Either it was a nutter waste of time.
Could have been that.
But I think it might be an utter. There he goes. Everything worked as expected. So it doesn't say flashing red lights. Oh, so you should type that up. Flashing red. My passport Wi-Fi flashing red light. Yeah, and see how many people come up with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we should and all our other listeners, they should complain online. We might all get them for free. Of course, a free thing that doesn't work is not much good.
No, but the package. That's true. Yeah. After trekking around Borneo for 3 weeks, lugging 12 kilos of camera gear everywhere,
we went light.
I decided that somewhere between now and whenever I next travel internationally, I want to get a different camera. I want a different camera.
Well, you need a Sony A7.
I need something lighter.
You need a Sony A7.
Why the A7?
It's the half the size of the camera you got now.
Yeah, but that's why I'm keen on the A7S Mark II when it's released.
Oh, the A7, whatever, blah, 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 blah. The A7, it's the same freaking thing.
The mirrorless, yep.
Yeah, but you need, for you, that'd be a great solution. You've got all your great lenses.
Yeah, but there's the thing. The lenses add weight.
No, so, do they?
So, through the week, I happened to see the Sony RX10M, which they call a bridge camera. Which is essentially, a prosumer. It's a DSLR-like body, but with a built-in zoom lens. Check this out. 1-inch sensor.
Yes.
32,000th of a second maximum shutter speed.
Yes, yes, yes.
20 megapixels.
Yes.
Shoots at 16 frames continuous, which I could care less about because I'm not that type of shooter.
Yeah.
24 to 200 f2.8 Zeiss lens built-in.
Yes.
That sounds great. Hey, my point is that would be a great travel camera. I could see myself traveling with just that.
That seems like a reasonable thing to carry around for you amateur photographers.
And shoots 4K video and
All right. I've got no problem with that camera at all. I think it's perfectly nice. I mean, I used to use the Sony R1, which is like the first version of that camera had, which is the 24-120 Carl Zeiss T-Star lens.
Yep.
It was 2.8-4 variation. So yeah, but I like the 24, a little bit wider lens, 24-120.
Yep.
It had a beautiful CMOS sensor back in the days when most were CCDs. Yeah,
right.
Beautiful piece of kit. Yeah, built like a proverbial.
Yep.
Yeah, rotating screen so you could get different angles. It was like a 1-inch screen. It was 1.5-inch screen. It was back in the early days of digital. Yep. But that thing was the beast. It was sharp as a nun's tongue and just brilliant. Yeah,
right. So if I was going to go out and buy a travel camera today, that's something like what I'd probably be looking for, I reckon.
It covers a lot of what most people want, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that 24 to 200 or 28 to 200?
No, 24 to 200. 24. And it's 2.8 the whole way.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And again, it's the Zeiss T-Star lens, so,
yeah,
you know.
So it's just a modern version of what I had, and I'd reckon it'd be what's the sort of price on something like that?
US is $1,300.
Yeah, well, but that R1
probably about $1,800 here.
Yeah, the R1 was about $1,800 when I bought it.
Yeah.
This is 10 years ago now or something, you know.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, but I agree completely.
Yeah.
So I can't bleat, moan or complain about anything in your statement.
No.
That's rather depressing.
The only thing is, if I was buying a camera like that, I wouldn't necessarily feel like I had to stay with Sony because it's not about lens compatibility anymore.
No, exactly. It's just that camera covers an awful lot of what you want.
Yeah, and if there were other cameras from other manufacturers that were similarly spec'd, then they would have to be on the shopping list as well. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, that's why so many people are going to these Fujis as well. They're the little Fuji X series because they're small bodies and the lenses are small.
Yep.
And the Olympuses, the OMs. I mean, my mate Dave Oakley, he shoots pretty much most of his stuff on an Olympus OMD.
Yep.
Because it's small. It's light. The lenses are small and light. He's got a 50-150 2.8, which is equivalent to 100-300 2.8.
Nice.
And it's pretty darn small. You know, he's got some beautiful, the Olympus has some gorgeous lenses.
Yeah.
So you can still keep that feel of, you know, being a photographer because you're changing lenses.
Yep.
And all in let's face it, it all probably fit in the same sort of size pack as two lenses that you had to carry before.
Yeah.
It's not as small as the Sony, but it's still, it's acceptable.
Yeah. So I might just stay with my 850 for another 5 years and just buy something like this. To be my travel camera.
Yeah, do something when you're doing serious photography. You can pull out the 850. Yeah,
exactly.
When you're doing rest of the time.
That's it. You know, and something like that, I could carry that on the motorbike easily.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think meant mounted and shooting with it, which is what I'm thinking.
No. I just mean, if I was going out for a ride on the weekend, it wouldn't be a hassle to take something like that with you.
Yeah.
Where, you know, trying to pack up a, you know... wheelie bag is on the bike. It's a bit hard.
It's a little trailer towed behind the back of the,
exactly.
The back of the bike. It's good. Well, let's see if we get any other reader response to maybe some other suggestions.
Yeah. If you're familiar with offerings from other manufacturers of similarly spec'd, you know, prosumer type bodies with good lenses built in, I'd be keen to hear about them. So
as I said, I'm doing my Hanoi trip. With just two lenses.
Right.
With the 28-300 and 15-30 Tamrons. Now, they're not, these are kit, well, the 15-30 is not, but the 28-300 is effectively a kit lens.
Yeah, right.
So it's not a prosumer lens at all.
Yeah, right.
But I reckon I can get away with most of this. My photography won't necessarily improve anything by having better lenses. I don't think it's going to detract an awful lot by reducing it to just those two pieces of kit.
And you're comfortable with the, you know, narrower apertures that you'd get with a kit lens?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't shoot it. Yeah,
you don't shoot fully wide anyway.
Yeah, most of the time, because I can't get the focus well enough to keep the eyes in if I shoot too low. So I need to give myself a bit of wiggle room. So I've got no problem shooting at 5.6 or whatever, or 6.3, if that's what it needs to be, you know?
Yeah.
So that's going to be I'll be video blogging that
cool.
as I travel. So we'll be, seeing how that pans out. Just quietly, I might stick my 90mm macro in the back of a bag somewhere, just in case.
Nice.
But you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, you know, you need this, when you're trying something new, you still need your safety blanket.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Just to know you've got at least that one thing that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I had that when I was in India last time. I said I destroyed my 24-70 and my 70-200 on the first day.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it does change your thought process. I mean, I shot with a 10-24 and a 90mm for the entire 5.5 days I was there. So, yeah, it does limit
you. But if you're not shooting wildlife, those two lenses probably get you through.
Yeah, look, the 200mm would have been very handy for a lot of stuff.
Right.
Okay. Mostly for isolating backgrounds and stuff for the way I shoot. But,
yeah.
But you know, there's a lot to be said for limiting choices.
Yeah.
You know, if you've only got this, well, that's what you're going to shoot.
Yep.
If you have all the other stuff, you'll start thinking more. Maybe thinking's not a good thing to do sometimes. my wife highly encourages I don't do it.
Right.
So we'll see how that pans out for the duration. But certainly, as I know, those little Fujis are, the lens is remarkably sharp.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful, yeah. And the build quality is great, and they're pretty small. So they're certainly a good mid-range option. And I've always liked I love the Olympus cameras, but I hate their menu systems. Their menu just seems, if you're not using it all the time, it's really a tricky little thing to get used to.
Oh, okay.
You know, you pick it up and there's sub-menu after sub-menu.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the people who come to my camera classes come with Olympuses because they just can't figure the things out.
Yeah, right.
And, so unless you're using it all the time, it would be, a little bit difficult to get completely familiar with because it's a little bit less intuitive.
Okay.
Whereas the and here's the thing with the Fujis is exactly the opposite, but also hard to get used to. The Fujis I've used all have a shutter speed dial and an aperture dial.
Nice.
Like an actual on-the-lens aperture dial and on top of the camera shutter speed, like the olden days.
Oh, okay. But the aperture's on the lens.
On the lens.
Oh, okay.
But right. I've forgotten how to do that.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've shot.
That's trippy.
That way, it takes so much getting yourself back into old-school style shooting if you haven't done it. And you just get so intuitive to shooting the digital way.
Yeah.
That's really kind of freaky.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it really kind of, it slows me down no end because I can't remember where it is. That's kind of funny too. Yeah.
All right, look, there's a few things on my list that I want to quickly get through so we can get to the stuff that you've got.
Oh, no, yours is probably better than mine. So
okay.
Came
up with a blog post on 500px, and it was 8 pro photographers share the best advice they ever got. Won't spoil the punchlines out of it. I'd just say go and have a look at the link.
Was any of them any good? Did you learn anything from it?
I did browse through it.
Oh, I haven't read it.
But this was a couple of days ago. Drink coffee, repeat as necessary. What was that?
You've been doing lavender research. That sounds interesting. Just cut and paste.
I did look at it, but I can't remember what the what my takeaways from it were right off the top of my head, and obviously I just want to keep powering on. The next one I came up with was on popphoto.com, and I thought this is one of those products you go, why didn't someone think of this earlier? This is a soft case that's designed as a wrap for your modified speed lights, but it also doubles as a reflector, bounce card, and flag. And it's just one of those things you just go, oh my God, that is just so obvious. Why didn't...
That's just so clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Dave Honnell's speed wraps.
Yeah.
Except this one's been designed to actually wrap up your speed light, you know, so it's a protective cover for it as well as being all these other light modifiers, which I thought was very clever.
Very clever idea.
Adam sent us something from F-Stoppers. This was the website that will steal your photos and hack your computer. This is a dodgy website called Poster Shop. Which they haven't linked to because they don't want people going to the site if they can avoid it. But basically, this shop scans your images and then puts them up on their website as this is what you could be printing, but basically making it available to anybody. So pretty dodgy looking setup. So apparently there's a whole... movement set up to try and get this website taken down, but I don't know how effective that will be. That's at change.org. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes, but not to the actual site, because we don't want to be sending our listeners there.
No, definitely not.
Carl sent us an email.
He did. Lovely, Carl.
He said, "Hi, Bruce and Glenn. My brother got me one of these babies from New York's B&H while he was on vacation there recently."
Oh, he's importing babies.
Yes. As you might notice, has an independent swivel base. We're talking about tripod heads, by the way. An independent swivel base, which should solve your pano alignment issues. The reviewer gave it the thumbs up because it passed three of his critical ball head tests.
Three out of how many, though? Is he a 47?
I don't know.
Or four. If he's passed three or four, that's pretty good. If he's got 10, yeah, that's like 30%.
So this is by a company called Oben, who I'd not heard of before.
Can't say I've heard of them either, but there's a lot of names out there these days.
Yeah, exactly. But a really nice-looking head. It has two spirit levels built in, one vertical, one horizontal, which I thought was rather handy.
Someone should come out with a Ouija ball head. It's got real spirit levels.
Nice. the thing I thought was interesting about this, though, is it uses the Arca Swiss clamp and plate. A lot of people do. Not the type that the Manfrottos use.
No, yeah, a lot of people use the Arca Swiss. That's why they call it the standard clamp. It's a very common. I hate it personally.
Right. See, I've only ever used the Manfrotto type of plate. So that's the only one I'm familiar with.
So I use the Arcus. I've had heads like this for holding flash guns with the same sort of plate system.
Oh, okay.
Don't think it's sliding off the end and falling off.
Oh.
You know? Yeah, which is not what you want with your gear. And this is probably better build and better thing. But I found that it's not secure with something that doesn't sort of lock in, that can slide out either way, you know.
Yeah.
This might not slide out either way, but if the head can come out either direction, I'm a little concerned.
I've got to say, I've had that happen with one of my flashes.
It looks like there's a little tiny lip on this, on the right-hand side, so it probably doesn't slide out that way. But yeah, the same, it slides straight through the holder on the hot shoe and on the ball head, and that was
one time where I was really thankful that it was just one of those cheap $80 Yong Nuo flash units.
Yeah, exactly.
And the crazy thing was, it kept working. It was fine.
Funny, isn't it?
You know, I mean, I broke a piece of plastic off one part of the shell, but it still functioned. So,
sorry, the Yong Nuo stuff and it breaks.
Really?
Oh yeah, I've had two and both failed.
That's
instantly.
Right. You've mentioned that. I've never had any issues with it. It's always been great stuff.
Just kill stuff.
Anyway, this was not exactly photography related, but I did like it, and I reposted this on my Facebook. And this was 20 signs you're doing better than you think you are. And this was good, you know. It was a nice positive message to this, and if you're a photographer, a lot of it will resonate with you, so check that one out. And then there was a YouTube link that Carl also sent to a product, something to do with iPads and monitors, and I didn't
That's
even
right.
bother
yep,
looking
yep.
at it because I could care less.
You don't have an iPad.
Yeah.
You Android folk view. Yeah, it's about using your iPad as a second monitor for your computer and second monitor for your other stuff.
Right, so does it duplicate your monitor or does it extend your desktop?
I think you can do either.
Right. Oh, well, yeah. Fair enough.
I think
Did
can
you
do
watch
either.
It?
No.
Of course not. So what do you got on your list?
Going back to gear again, just before we talk about having to carry more stuff, and this particular lens that's tickled my fancy this week, actually it goes the opposite way of having to make carry even more gear, because Sigma's just released a 24-35mm lens. Yeah, which, you know,
you've got to wonder, why would you bother?
As you're talking about your 28-200s and stuff, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, we all talk about prime lenses because their quality is so much better than zooms.
Yeah.
Well, this has a quality of a prime because it's not trying to push optical laws too much by focal range.
Yep.
But it's a 24-35 f2 all the way through the range.
Yep.
Which is pretty nice. And I can say that the Sigma Art series of lenses, which is what this is, incredible, beautiful.
Right.
Great build, beautiful quality.
Yeah, nice.
They're really pushing Canon and Nikon and you know, the other high-end makers for quality. So it's a very nice piece of kit if you're looking for something in that wide-angle range.
Yeah, right.
Then in my search for travel related stuff for sending out stuff to customers, I came across the this article on how this National Geographic woman prepares for travel assignments.
Oh, okay.
It kind of goes back to what kind of gear she takes, how she packs it, what her preparations are. So I thought that might be of interest to some people.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I saw a demonstration with the the Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
And it's being using as a remote control for Olympus cameras.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So your watch, you can see the view.
Oh, wow.
Got all your shutter speeds and apertures, and you can change all the settings and stuff. It's like, you know, people use their phone to control the cameras.
That camera, is that a bit like the Sony QX10?
Exactly, yep. Yeah,
yeah, right.
And who was the other, another company came out with one recently? But it's called the Olympus Air. But that's pretty darn cool. As I mentioned, you could sit that lens sort of anywhere.
Yeah.
And just sit there looking like you're playing with your watch, but you're actually taking photos of people.
Yeah.
It's been a great little street photography thing. You can set up in a certain spot where there's interesting things happening and just sit back and shoot.
That's
true. I saw today that Adobe have releasing their final RAW update, CS6. I thought that'd be important for anyone out there still using it.
Right.
So it basically means any new camera that comes out from now on, you won't be able to open the RAW files in CS6. It's gone.
Right.
So you'll either have to find another way to access your RAWs or, go to Adobe Cloud, effectively.
Yeah, right.
So
I hadn't noticed that. I did see that there was an update to RAW, but I hadn't seen that it was the final version for Creative Suite 6.
The final countdown.
Yeah.
Then I came across this thing from Intel, who've come up with a whole new way of storing, a whole new computer storage method.
Oh, yes, I did see this.
Yeah, what they call it, it's X-Point, 3D Cross-Point.
Right.
They call it 3D Cross-Point technology. So it's a non-volatile memory that has the potential to revolutionize any device, application, or service that benefits from fast access to large sets of data. So all these 4K, 8K video cameras, obviously cameras, 50-megapixel things. It says the first new memory category since 1989.
Wow.
So you think about that. That's a long time that we've been milking the same systems.
Yeah.
So they say it's up to 1,000 times faster than current access, and this is 1,000 times greater endurance than NAND.
Yeah. And by current access, they're referring to SSD drives. They're saying that the read and write speed will be 1,000 times faster than the read and write off an SSD.
And it's got 1,000 times greater endurance and 10 times denser than normal memory.
Wow.
So bigger SSD drives that are much faster. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. You know, that's a whole new breakthrough in.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how long it takes for this to sort of end up on the shelves.
Yeah. See, my wife and I were talking about. Sorry, this is slightly off topic on what you're just saying about this exponential growth in the world over since World War II and stuff. And and my wife says, why did we have this explosion of change sort of since the late 1880s and stuff? And I said, well, it's the Industrial Revolution. She goes, well, what do you mean? I said, it's not what people assume necessarily that all of a sudden we started getting machines and so we could start coming up with more machines. No, the machines gave us time.
Yeah.
And time gave us time to think.
Yep.
Before that, you were working so hard just to survive.
Yeah.
And survive and sleep that there was no time to really move forward. So as soon as the Industrial Revolution came around, people had time. And you saw these sort of weird outbreaks of what people started doing in the 1880s and stuff. All of a sudden, archaeology took off.
Yep. You know?
People had time to just go around and dig stuff up.
Yep. You know? And that was about the time that photography took off.
Once again, another art form.
Yep.
Stuff like
the development of the motor vehicle,
but animals. No, but that's still more actual a physical thing. These gents who now had all this time started coming up with ways of basically how to entertain themselves because they now have more time.
Yeah.
So archaeology became one of them, and priests. And a lot of the early archaeology was done by priests, and because they had all this time and they were fairly well off. Then they started coming up with these like animal societies where they start, you know, taking animals from different parts of the world and trying to transplant them to other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know, like trout in Australia as an example, they're an introduced species.
Right.
And it was all because all these people had this time on their hands, they wanted to play. For a while there, they were going to set up the inland Australia as the African savannah, number mark two.
Wow.
They're going to bring lions and giraffes and stuff and set up another savannah out here. Oh, why? Because okay. they had time just to sit around and do nothing, you know, and to come up with this crazy stuff. And that sort of happened, and the modern age is done, we've sped up with stuff. We've had more and more time to do things. But now, all of a sudden, how are we filling that time now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before, when there was not, wasn't as many distractions, people to fill their time with relatively useful things or, you know, big thought process things. Yep. Now we're spending our time on Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, are we going to find that we're going to go into a technological slump? Because whilst we have a lot of time, we don't do anything with it.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think that the rate of technological change continues to ramp up because manufacturing processes are becoming more and more efficient with every day that goes by. And I think the rate of technical understanding just continues to widen at an equally exponential rate. And so the development of new, not just new products, but whole new genres of products is just going ahead so crazy fast that it makes me think of Alvin Toffler's Future Shock. I don't know if you ever read it.
I remember that, yeah.
Basically what he hypothesized in the late 60s, early 70s, whenever he wrote that book, was he foresaw a day where people would start to just simply not be able to keep up with the rate of technological change. I think he might have overshot the mark a little bit because I think each new generation that comes through, they're only reference point is what they grow up with. So I look at, you know, Max's generation. To them, it's not an unusual scenario to be consuming media from three places at once. The TV's on, he's got music playing in his ears, and he's playing on his tablet at the same time.
Yeah.
And he's absorbing all three of those media streams concurrently. Now, to our generation, that was, well, one, it was never possible in our day. So we look at it and go, that's just ridiculous. How can you possibly be absorbing all that? But if that's what you've grown up with, then that's what you just, it's your norm.
Yeah. But a lot of the stuff hasn't changed much. Like, look at computer processing power.
How can you say that hasn't changed?
It hasn't. Look at the hertz on an average chip now from 10 years ago. They've gone up like 0.2 of a hertz. All they've done is they've had more. They've gone for duo core, quad core, 8 core. They're adding more, but the actual speed of the hertz of a chip is not dramatically changed.
Yeah, it has. It has.
No, it hasn't.
Ten years ago, you were running 1 gigahertz processors. Now you're running 4 gigahertz processors. So they've multiplied by 200% from 1 gigahertz to 2 gigahertz, from 2 gigahertz to 4 gigahertz.
It's only two jumps. Okay. In 10 years. No, but you think about what exponential growth we've had in everything else.
Yeah.
The computers aren't keeping up. And the only way computers are keeping up is by adding more things. And the whole point of this needing this NAND drive, you said there hasn't been a change in storage since 1989.
Yeah.
Look at the change in computers since 1989.
Oh,
so this is the first change in computer storage in forever, effectively.
Yeah.
And if they hadn't come up with that, you know, we wouldn't be able to access or use all this technology. It's fine to come out with an 8K camera, but if you've got nowhere to store and it takes forever to access it,
yeah,
what's the point, sort of stuff? So I think the changes are shifting.
Okay.
There's a lot more gadgets and stuff out, but the actual stuff that we need to actually run stuff and keep it going, I think it's struggling. I think we need new aliens. I think the old aliens who gave us this technology, they gave us like their old stuff. Let's make you some newer stuff.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, I saw yesterday, and I didn't actually get to go and have a look at the story, but I did see that Stephen Hawking and
I think it was
Elon Musk. Was it Elon Musk?
Yeah, Mr. Tesla.
Have issued a statement which they've both signed their names to, something or other about keeping tabs on just how far and how wide we allow the development of AI to get. so that, you know, we don't end up with a case of, you know, robots,
killer robots
outsmarting us and then deciding that we're a threat to their continued survival and offing us.
Yeah.
And going all Terminator on us.
And they also came out with $100 million to find aliens.
Did they really?
They did, yeah.
Wow.
There's a prize out there for proof of alien existence.
You know that I mentioned to you a few episodes back about this lady that I took a photo of on the volcano Vanuatu, and she works for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory at NASA in Pasadena in California.
Yes.
When Kath and Max and I went over to America in 2008, I got in touch with Rosalie because she had said to me, if you're ever in LA and you want to have a tour through the Jet Propulsion Laboratories, let me know. And so I reached out to her, and she did organize, and she did take us through the JPL facility, and we got to go where, you know, the general public never get to go. She took us all through it, and it was absolutely amazing. And while we were walking through the complex, I asked her, I said, what's your view on, you know, extraterrestrial life? I said, my personal opinion is the universe is too damn big for us to be the only ones here. And she said, well, when, I think it was Voyager, but it might have been something else. I know it was Voyager they sent to Mercury, which is in near the sun?
No,
I don't know. Whatever it was, they sent this spacecraft off to survey Mercury, and then they flung it round the back of Mercury and flung it out past Earth. And without giving it any specific places to look, right? Because let's face it, if you were sending a spacecraft past a planet that you've never seen before, you can't tell it, look here. You just got to tell it, do a scan look as you go by. So they told this thing, as you go past the Earth, just scan wherever you happen to be looking, and look for signs of human, you know, look for signs of life.
Yeah.
And it found nothing.
On Earth?
On Earth.
Well,
were they looking for
intelligent life or just life?
Well, just for evidence of structure, you know, like, you know, roads and things like that. Things that would signal that there was a sentient life form on the planet that was capable of constructing and, you know, a habitation and structure and order and all that sort of stuff. And by sending it past and just saying, do a random scan as you go by and look for any sign of that, it found nothing.
Yeah.
So it kind of raises, you know, the bar the likelihood is that somewhere out there, you know, there's a life form, and we may have already passed the planet that they're on, and we just didn't see it.
Well, yeah, we don't know what to look
for. Hey?
We don't know what to look for.
Well, that's it. You know,
as Monty Python said, just pray that there's intelligent life somewhere out in space, because there's bugger all down here. Yeah. Okay. One last thing. Two last things.
Yeah.
I saw that Toyota are about to release next year one of their off-road vehicles with a built-in GoPro mount.
Nice.
Which I thought, well, that just shows the
market penetration of GoPro.
The ubiquitous nature of this GoPro stuff these days. Yeah. But the last one, it's not photography related. It's just called Gold Man Gold, as I called it that.
Oh, okay.
It's this awesome bit of footage
of
this diver diving the bottom of the ocean with a metal detector, just searching for stuff, and he finds millions of dollars in gold coins and stuff.
Wow.
And you can just hear this guy. He's got the snort and the goggles and the
excellent.
It's worth seeing for that, as he discovers what he's discovering, you know. And just it's like every kid's fantasy to find treasure at the bottom of the ocean kind of thing. So that's a pretty cool little video. So that's it for me for the week.
We've got to do the Don't Fund My Life.
Oh, okay,
we can't leave that off.
Can't do
that. That was too good.
We'll do it next week and save us. We've got a bit of work for next week sorted. Go on.
We'll come up with more stuff for next week. I saw this on Facebook today. Glyn also saw it. This is on GoFundMe.com. And this guy has started and basically GoFundMe is just like Kickstarter or Indiegogo. It's another crowdfunding platform. And this guy has started a project, and it's called Don't Fund My Life. And he says, really? don't send anything. And he talks about how he's a photographer, what his challenges are to his existence, you know, both as a human being and as a businessman, and of all the things that he's got to, you know, that he's challenged by at the moment. But he's saying, you know, don't fund me. Halfway down, he says, I could hit the lottery or I could ask for nothing. If I can't sell more work or more of my professional services, I'll get another job and work 16 hours a day to make ends meet. I'm not going to beg. On the other hand, I could use a few buckets of money, and as long as I'm able to work, blah, blah, blah. It's a great read.
It's good. It's very a good read. Then go friend him on Facebook, because people like that we need to support.
And basically, he's having a bitch at the, you know, fund me for everything kind of mentality.
I want to go to Australia and take amazing photos, but I don't have a camera or a computer.
Yeah.
Fund me.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I've read so many of those kind of things. It's crazy.
It's very clever. So good.
Well, if we're going to do it, one last thing on my thing. I noticed today that Movie Tone and Associated Press have just started two channels on YouTube. One's called Movie Tone and one's called Associated Press, where they've just digitized 1 million minutes of their Associated Press or Movie Tone news stories.
So
remember, if you ever went to the movies back in the 50s, before the movie started, Movie Tone, and they're going, what's happening in the world? They've got 1 million minutes of that stuff being put up on YouTube. Any era of history in the last 40 or 50 years, you want to look up an event, you better watch how it was reported in the day, which is fabulous. You know?
That's awesome.
Great resource. So,
beautiful.
That's it.
Excellent. All right, mate. Will you have a good week?
I will.
Got some workshops lined up for this weekend?
Yeah, I've got I've actually got one, and they've got 2 weeks off, which is rather nice.
Oh, nice.
So I've got an understanding of your camera, which is a bit of a no-brainer, which is good. Don't have to think too hard or be creative, which is good. And then I've got two whole weekends off, which is almost unheard of.
You lazy bugger.
Well, I was supposed to be going to the Philippines, and then I didn't because my wife has to go to Perth on business. So it was awesome. 2 weeks off.
Wow. Nice.
So I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Maybe you could do some research for the podcast. Or maybe not.
That's what the minutes before the show is for, dude.
Yeah, that's right. All right. All right, mate. Have a good
one. Thanks for listening,
everybody. Take care. Talk to you
next week. Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.